recorded live.
What's up, everybody? My name is Jeff Roney, and this is Roney's Own Radio. And you can find all the fabulous shows on roneyzone.com. That's RoneyZone.com. And again, you are listening to Roney's Own Radio. It is views, interviews, and you. So tonight, we're going to be talking about technology. And I actually broke a rule that actually we're doing a show about technology, strangely enough. So I didn't really plan on doing one at one point, but I think we're going to handle it from a very interesting angle tonight.
Is it all about the Mac? Is it all about Mac computers tonight?
No. We will be doing the only PC show tonight.
What about
no Leo's
show?
Well, anyway.
We can talk about Leo. My antiquated iMac that works better than all my PCs in the house.
Oh.
if you have anything further to add besides this wonderful banter, you can always email at jeff.roney@gmail.com. Now, let's kind of begin here, is that where we kind of want to begin is the wonder of technology. Now, technology has really given us a lot of wonderful things in our lives, helps us maybe keep schedules, helps us to interact with people. But Mr. William, what has technology given you?
The goodie bag of life. By being, acquainted to it early in life, it gave me a career path, although I wasn't expecting it. what I found is like I think people found, many years ago, is when you get some technology and you learn how to maybe bring it out of commission, disable it, break it, what have you, and then find out that you need to fix it in the next 2 hours before Dad gets home, you get to learn a lot about technology and how it works and why it works and what it costs and how the belt feels. And I think that held true for all kinds of technology. Nowadays, I think when we talk about technology, we're focusing on electronics, software, things that you interact with your a computer or some sort of other device that has electronics. But and I'll try to keep it short, but throughout many hundreds of years, technology means new things, new ways, processes, or hardware, whether it's upgrading to a different type of plow, actually getting a stirrup so that when you ride the horse you can be a stable platform for shooting your arrows, whether it means new ways of trapping the power of water to grind your grain or to
let me know when you're going to keep it short.
We're getting really close to keeping it short.
Okay. Give me three things that you really could not live without, technologically speaking.
TiVo, Netflix,
okay.
And I'd say email. Web-based email.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Jeff of iSciFiTV.com. What are your three choices?
Transportation.
Well,
telephone. Well, a car, a telephone. No, technologically speaking, I could not live without a car, a telephone. Okay. Doesn't matter if it's a cell phone or a landline.
Okay.
And
cell phone, huh?
My wife.
Okay.
Good save.
I think we'll leave that. Right where
no,
it is.
There's no sexual connotation to that. She is my webmistress. She's my wife. She's my business partner, and I could not technically I could not live without her. Now that sounds funny that she, she's not like the bionic woman that we spent millions of dollars to rebuild her. But those are three things I couldn't live with without.
Okay.
How about you, Snoop?
Well, yeah, definitely. Jeff, say hello to your wife because I know she's right there. I think the three things I can't live without would be my my BlackBerry, which is nearly my office in my hand wherever I go, and second of all, DVR, and third of all, probably MySpace. MySpace is very an interesting use of informing a lot of people at the same time of something. So, anyway, that is what the wonder of technology. And William and I were kind of discussing technology today. And, you know, I've been a Leo Laporte fan. And but William probably kind of jumped on technology as far as computers and software long before I did. And it's been interesting to see the progression of technology. What do you think of it now? Everything's happening so much, so fast now. What do you think?
I don't know. It doesn't feel fast to me.
Okay.
Yeah, there's lots of new things being introduced every few weeks, but I think a lot of them also have a highly turned up hype meter. So the ones that come out as what's the current term? We don't have paradigm shift anymore. No, disruptive technology. That's the phrase we use now. The ones that come up and show up and make you rethink how you do things and give you new ways are still, you know, maybe one or two a year. Which is good. Other ones show up and have their brief bits of glory and then disappear or, you know, get some sort of fervent band of people that still want to play with their Amiga computer, but it's not necessarily something that's impacting most of the world.
Do you think I feel a sense of jadedness, the older that folks get. I think maybe it's kind of in general that when you're younger, you're willing to try just about anything. You know, if they would put a phone in a banana, I think, you know, kids everywhere would buy one and say, oh, this is cool, except I kept swallowing my phone, you know. But
this is the second show that we've referenced banana phone in the last 2 days that I've been on.
All right, I'm looking for
the
domain.
So, we didn't talk about shoe phones, but just the bottom line is I think I'm not necessarily saying young people are gullible, but I'm thinking that young people are more adept to changes, to trying something new, to giving something a shot. But the older you get, I think the more leery you are of things. I mean, has there been a situation in your life, William, where at the beginning you were like very interested in something and then over time you noticed that it was problematic?
Oh gosh. You know, the first online gaming community I got into, and I forget the name of it, I think I got introduced to it from CompuServe. It was a big internet provider a while ago. I thought that was really cool because you could do chat and make your little characters and stuff like that, and I was, you know, totally into that for probably 80 hours in the first week, and then 10 hours the second week, and then about an hour over the next each month of the next year. So, it lost interest for me. Similar to me when I tried out Ultima Online and Sims Online, it was interesting. You get involved. I figured out some of the nuances and explored a bit, and then it became too routine. I didn't have anything new to learn other than just meeting other people, but in stilted, you know, half-spelled conversations, which I could get anywhere. I mean, I could get in a meeting at work.
Right. I think the one and Jeff, whenever you want to kind of chime in, go ahead and kind of poke your nose in, and we'll let you talk. Promise.
I'm just using my mute button to be courteous so you don't hear the background noise.
That is perfectly fine, but if you have something to say, just say, excuse me, you know, whatever. So, cool. I remember when I first was introduced to the Internet. This was back, I think, it was early to, I don't know, like late 90s. And I went to this... it was called Megabyte Coffee, in Long Beach, and they had a T1 line, or they leased part of a T1 line or something. And I remember very clearly the guy sat me down in the chair, and he says, "Welcome to the Internet. Your life is going to change." And he looked at me, and he goes, he says, "I'm going to get you addicted to speed." And he sat me down, and he just typed in the URL. I think it was for Yahoo, and he just backed away. He goes, "Welcome to the Internet." And real honestly, but there's I had a full shift of life because, you know, I said, "Well, I've been on AOL," and the guy just started laughing. He goes, "Just stay away from that." He goes, "This is the real Internet right here." And I remember days after work, I'd come and pay the money to use the computers there. And I would come in about 7, and on Friday nights I'd leave about like 2 in the morning, and I just lose all track of time because there's so much information out there to just assimilate. And I think whenever you deal with technology, I think there's a point at the beginning of it where it's a romance, and it really kind of it lulls you in, and then it just begins to really kind of take more and more of your time. And you know, I think I have more of a romantic view of technology because I really think that it is helpful to you. It helps me communicate. It helps me scheduling. It helps me do a lot of the different things like audio work and everything and communicate that to other people. But William, I know that you have a different mindset, and I think you see things differently. Do you view technology in a more romantic way, or is it more of a if it has no use for me, I have no use for it? How do you see technology, kind of in a broad sense?
Well, like right there, one of my phones is ringing, and
that's
sometimes
carry
I
one
view,
of phone.
Technology.
That means you have more than one phone.
Yeah. Sometimes
oh,
I view technology as a way to interrupt what I am trying to do.
Okay.
I do have that moment. I tend to have that high energy introduction to some new technology where I'm like excited, and whether it's useful or not, I want to play with it, explore it, take it out for a spin, maybe see if there's two or three things it can do that they don't tell you it can do. I want to get under the covers, under the hood, and tinker with it. And then it comes down to, is it going to stay with me because I find uses for it? Is it going to stay with me because it's just so darn fun and it's entertainment? Or is it going to stay with me because I'm kind of stuck using it? Because a bunch of other people I know use it, and the conversion between it and something else is difficult. So in the first case, things that you know, I play with and I find, you know, useful to myself, web-based email, you know, internet-based phone calling and voicemail, things that I find just plain fun, certain online video games, okay? And things I find where I have to use it because I don't have much of a choice if I want to continue working with the people I work with, like some of the Microsoft applications. You know?
Right.
So they tend to fall in those sort of categories for me.
Now, you mentioned web-based email. So the key to that is that you can reach it from any point, whether you're at home or whether you're at work or anywhere. Is that the draw for you with that?
That's the draw for me on that. I mean, Jeff was mentioning transportation, and then he said car as one of the technologies that he couldn't live without. And I agree, especially in the sense that, you know, physically, all of us are in one place at a time, okay? So anything that lets you, you know, shrink distances between you and things you want, people you want to be near, locations, is very useful to me. And something like web-based email means as long as I can find a device that can connect to the Internet, I can get a hold of my messages, the way I communicate with people. Anything that shrinks distances to me is a technology that I'm going to explore and probably going to find useful.
Mm-hmm. So,
my turn.
So definitely a mobile phone and that kind of a thing that can allow you to be anywhere and receive a phone call, that is going to be better for you. And I was talking to, well, basically. I was talking to somebody about, for instance, years ago when you wanted to meet someone somewhere, you had to really play a lot of different games. Okay, for instance, if you lived like in a different town from somebody and you said, okay, I want to meet you at the front of Disneyland, and I'll meet you there. And so, you know, at this certain point in time, well, I mean, where in the front and what specific time? 10 till, 10 after? I mean, sure, you could look for the person, but what's nice now is you can have a cell phone, call their cell phone, and say, I'm right here. Well, where are you? Well, look over here. I'm waving at you. Oh, I see you. And so it can be easier to do certain things like find people in a crowd, perhaps, and get a message. Maybe if you're looking for a job or something like that, you can be definitely more mobile and return a call or maybe get an email back to somebody in a quicker manner. But, you know, any other... Sweetie, how do you enjoy technology that helps you where you don't have to be stuck in one location? Do you like a cell phone with an email? Or what do you think about that?
Yeah, I actually have a BlackBerry.
Right.
Where I get my phone, you know, service as well as internet and email sent. Nice, because again, when you're out, yeah, it's nice to not have to sit at home by the phone waiting for that phone call, or, you know, oh, I got to be where I can log into a computer and get, you know, the information. It's kind of nice having it at your fingertips. But then again, the flip side is that it prevents you from actually sometimes interacting with people that are right in front of you.
Correct. Now, yeah, we'll talk about that a little later. Just everyone forget what she just said for the time being. we will go there soon.
No.
That's fine.
Okay, well, I just joined in. So if we're talking about the pluses, then the pluses,
yes.
Yeah, I don't have to sit around and wait for anything. I have it at my fingertips. It's nice. It's right there. And it's convenient. Instant gratification, because that's pretty much what this society is all about.
Jeff, you mentioned that you were introduced to the internet, what, in 2000?
Yes.
I was introduced in 1985, and the internet back then is not anything like we see it now.
Wow, were you using the source?
I was a 17-year-old computer hacker that didn't know what the heck I was doing and a total geek. Now, granted, now I'm a 41-year-old. Same thing, but not that this is a romance, and I don't have to have a BlackBerry or a cell phone. Frankly, sometimes a cell phone feels like a ball and chain more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, the two of you mentioned BlackBerries. What were you going through when their network went down 2 months ago? Because
right.
I heard it was like everybody, their crack's gone. They can't have their fix. They're not going to
mm-hmm.
be able to function without it.
Right.
You didn't notice it? Because, you know, when I was in high school, the people that kept up with technology and fascinating to see Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, total nerds, become multimillionaires overnight, and yet we're locked in a computer lab 5-6 hours a day, and our parents are wondering where we are because the only computers back then were in schools.
Right.
And
go ahead,
yeah,
Tommy.
I mean that's where I got a hold of them too. Was mostly, you know, in the internet connected ones were in college. You know, we got to connect to the real internet back then. You know, the one that was, you know, there because of DARPA, and you know, was connecting to major universities and using email to communicate, you know, to another side of the campus was like, wow. But I know that we'd had some sort of like locally tried thing. And, you know, it wasn't CompuServe or The Source or one of those other early people that sort of went away. And it was trying to be a shopping network where you click on this, but it was so slow. Of course, then again, I think we're using a 300 baud modem. it was hard to do anything back then. But that's
cool.
All done.
Go ahead, Colleen. You had something?
No, I was just listening.
Okay, all right. So definitely the cell phone, you know. It makes it very convenient because most businesses do not like personal calls made on their phone. So we've kind of, as a society, found a way to kind of get around there and either take your smoke break or your air with a little smoke hinting break, and you call, you know, and make your personal calls. Or, you know, then the next big thing is making little text messages here and there, or SMS messages. So another communication device that you don't need to speak. I mean, that's another way. And then with a BlackBerry, you just tack on email on top of that, and there you go. You can receive emails from people that don't have phones, that only use computers. So, you know, and then tack on a browser on top of that. So now you have the power of every major communication device in your hand. Just really quick, is that I heard a speech from the head of Motorola saying that they said in 5 or so years that anything that you can get on a desktop, you'll be able to get on your handheld device. And what do people feel about that?
I don't want it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mind carrying information with me so I can access it later. But, you know, certain things I try to do, like whether it's manipulating a very large spreadsheet or being able to, you know, maybe edit an image, you know, in one panel while looking at how it displays on a web page. I guess it would be convenient to have it in my pocket, but it might be very hard to manage looking at it on a 2.5-inch screen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, if I could get the cool stuff I've been following for some years, which is that either the roll-on, wallpaper style roll-out terminal, or the one that they're starting to do with keyboards where you basically project the image, then, hey, fine. If I could have a 15-inch diagonal thing projected from the back of my smartphone, I'll go for that.
Now, if they could put it on my glasses and make it look like a 19 to 25-inch big screen, that would be awesome.
Oh yeah, and I've seen interesting, you know, sunglasses or glasses that, you know, should be doing that sort of stuff, but they tend to either be prohibitively priced or need a special interface that only works with a PC and a bunch of software. But yeah, get me that. Get me the stuff that the people repairing airplanes have, you know, and so I can do the whole "you are not set Akana." I'm all over that.
I do see the personal iPod-ish, phone-ish, BlackBerry-ish device becoming more important. And I was thinking about this because I do a lot of traveling for work, is that when I step in a rental car, I don't know what stations are there. And it would be nice if I could stick in some type of a flash card or something that it could kind of sense what kind of music I like and choose those stations in the preset, so I wouldn't have to mess around with that. And then I was thinking, well, okay, what if the device I carry around, whether it's BlackBerry, whatever, it already has a smart little card in there, and what if, you know, I just could plug it into some type of receptacle in the car, and it would kind of know what I want to hear and what I like, and receive phone calls and that kind of thing. I think we're going to see that as time moves forward, where we're all kind of encapsulated in a device, because all the things that we like, all the things that we surf, all the things that we communicate with, all the things that we like are in this box. And you know, and then one day, you know, hey, my Bible reading days come in, you know, They're going to want to put a mark on you. I can see that. I can see that coming because that's the way it's coming right now. People can disagree, but that's what I think.
No, I think you're right because you've got car stereos. Mine plays MP3 CDs, but they have USB interfaces, Bluetooth.
Yeah.
You have a keychain that's Bluetooth. It identifies who you are. You approach the vehicle. It can adjust the environment to you. And, boy, that would be so cool to get into a rental car and not hear some Indian station when you're in San Jose. And
there you go.
It knows that you like Top 40 or whatever, or you have your music with you in your pocket and it goes through the FM receiver or through a Bluetooth receiver in the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bill, you mentioned about the DVR. So, you know, we've already kind of removed the unsurety of, you know, we don't need a phone. We don't need a place with a phone. And now we don't need a TV where we have to crowd around. We can actually control what we watch. And what's interesting is DVR now takes the power and gives it to you to watch when you want, where you want. I mean, well, you can watch what you want, when you want. But now there's a sling box that you can hook up to your television. And if you're traveling a lot like I am, then you can also watch your cable stations on a laptop, you know, far away. So now we're taking control away from the placement of the television, where you don't have to actually be there, and you can control what you watch, when you want to watch it, and then now anywhere. What do you think about that? Anybody?
Someone been reading my journal. that stuff is so cool because, you know, I have a laptop that has a video output and whatnot, and I have videos on one of my servers at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I can either watch it wirelessly while I walk around the house, or I can connect it into the TV. The technology is amazing, and it's kind of funny that you have a TV tuner and all these other multimedia devices on your computer, and you can pull up your web page and watch it anywhere. And like
right.
Bill said, you know, the webmail is so important to him. I think anything that's getting web-enabled is going to not just be bleeding edge, but it's going to be something that people are going to say, I can't live without this. What did I do without this?
Right. Well, William, what do you think about the whole Slingbox DVR thing?
That's cool, too, because not only, you know, just having the DVR gives you the time-shifting ability, but having the Slingbox and things like TiVo to go or whatever give you the ability to switch the time and the location or device. So now you're in control. Just like if you had a cassette 15 years ago and slapped it into your Sony Walkman and was pounding down the street, you're able to, you know, unshackle your music from your record player at home and take it with you on the street. Now. You know, and just like, you know, the record recording itself or the tape recording lets you not only participate with music in a live fashion, you could record it and listen to it tomorrow, a year from now.
Right.
Love it.
Now, Colleen, I know that you love your DVR. Am I representing you properly?
Yeah, that's true. I do love it. It's a great, great thing. DVR is phenomenal.
Would you ever be interested in maybe one day sitting down at a computer, logging into a website, maybe in another country, in another city, and maybe pulling up your specific DVR feed and then watching the shows that you have recorded digitally, or is that too much? Would you rather leave that at home and leave that as a home activity, or would you want that remotely?
No, rumor has it, well, I know you can program your TiVo remotely, but I don't know
right.
that it's come to the, you know, the cable company's DVR, but being able to watch it while I was, like, say, on vacation in Florida, it'd be okay. I don't know if I would take advantage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Only because, like, I don't think I'm hopefully out of town doing something fun. I'm on vacation doing something fun, someplace that's got a lot of interesting and exciting things to do. So hopefully I don't have time to really watch TV. But I can see where if you were somebody who travels a lot, you
right.
might enjoy being able to pick up your stuff and watch it on the road because, you know, there may not be anything where you are. If you're sent to an unfortunate remote location, I know Jeff gets sent every once in a while. You get sent to these, you know, podunk towns where they roll up the sidewalks at 6 o'clock at night. You pretty much don't have a whole lot to do except for sit in your hotel room and watch TV. So
right.
I mean, I can see where the benefit would come in, but then again, I mean, I don't know. You know, TV's a wonderful thing, but whatever happened to reading a book or just listening to music or writing
well,
a letter to somebody? And yet I
yes.
say that, but I don't do things.
Well. All right, we will cover that more in depth toward the end. Yes, I totally understand what you're saying. Now let me just kind of integrate this. Is I mean, I don't think all of us here, I'm not sure, maybe Jeff from Utah is, but I am not a sports fan. And I heard a guy
I am not one either.
Okay, so... We almost have a complete uniformity that we are not really sports fanatics here. I heard a guy, though, preach the most eloquent sermon about how much he loved the Sling Box because he could watch his favorite baseball team anywhere and that he was not, you know, bothered by the local teams where he was, as he could watch his Oakland A's anywhere in the world. And so that's kind of where I think the Sling Box really, really gets the power is that you can actually, you know, watch sport events, you know, anywhere. Now, if we're talking about a television show or a movie, you've got iTunes pretty much locked down for downloading a show, perhaps. Or maybe there's BitTorrent. But anyway, you know, definitely sporting events that are local, I think the whole local aspect is really where something like Sling Box would really outshine anything else. What do you guys say?
Well, if they can just kind of relax their posture, because if you've had Dish Network or DirecTV, the local broadcasters like blocking out programs out of market. So
yeah.
It brings up a whole new issue. People that have this on their Sling Box or on their DVRs or their TiVos or whatever the future holds, the advertisers want a piece of the airways, even though it's a pre-recorded show. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a two-edged sword. But if you think about it, a couple of years back, when iTunes came out, they're like, what? Download a song for 99 cents? Are you crazy? And look at the millions of dollars of revenue that they've generated.
Right, right.
Then again, I couldn't live without iTunes because every one of my shows that I'm involved in are on iTunes.
True. And go ahead, okay. What's good about iTunes is they do all the promotion for you, and then all you have to do is put a show on there. And then if the keywords are, you know, correctly put in, people can get a benefit from it. So, but anyway, yeah, that's definitely when iTunes came out, it was like, you know, the devil because of DRM and all these different things, and the music's locked down and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, things like the VLR player, you know, you can play any type of any type of song on it. So, you know, people find ways around different things. But, yeah, I think iTunes serves a purpose. So.
Yes, it does. And here's an interesting little tidbit for you. iTunes is now offering DRM-free music.
Yeah.
So they
yep.
recognize that, hey, you're going to get around it, so we might as well kind of not all music. It's specific songs, certain songs, and certain artists that they've pulled that they said, okay, we'll make this, we'll give you, we'll offer you the regular version, the iTunes version, and then we'll offer you the DRM free music.
Yep.
So
remember the days of Napster or Audio Galaxy.
Right.
And here,
well,
Napster
off.
Gets
off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Napster gets shut down, and then it goes legit, and the guy that started it is left going, what?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, definitely the one thing that I love about America that actually is what, you know, corporations hate about America is we find ways around things. Now, I mean, you could say, well, you know, we're being, you know, underhanded or whatever, but it's just because America was founded on this whole idea of we can do it. It may take us a little while, but we can do anything we want. So it is interesting, and Colleen points out that after all the hullabaloo, after all the talk and all this stuff, they finally bend to the will of, you know what, iTunes, you should offer music that can be played on any type of player. Take off the DRM and offer just plain music. And they did. And it's a valid point, Jeff, you make, that, you know, the guy that invented Napster, I mean, he was trying to fill a need of how can we share songs. That's all he wanted to do. I mean, little did anybody know, he created a revolution. But now, I mean, after being, you know, pummeled by Metallica, who hasn't released a good album in, a long time, now, you know, I mean, Metallica probably wishes people would download their music for nothing because they're not getting any movement anywhere else. And then the guy that invents
right.
Napster, he goes down in flames. And then, you know, like Jeff said, Napster goes legit. And now everyone's just like the old Napster. So it's definitely is funny.
I think that's the
then,
best Shockwave movie I've ever seen was the one where Metallica was going after a little kid who had been downloading music. And now Weird Al Yankovic had a song called Don't Download This Song. And he has like 1,000 links to download it to promote himself because he knows
right.
that people will do it.
Right.
Right.
And you never
well,
say
and,
don't
and
do it to
facts.
A hacker.
Let's
go ahead,
facts.
Colleen.
This is the thing that let's face some facts here. This is the thing that really bothers me about marketing folks because they don't seem to get it. The whole point of why Napster and Kazaa and, you know, of course now iTunes, whether you have to pay or not is irrelevant. What's fabulous about those types of services, and it's the technology that allowed it, so that's a plus, is that you don't have to buy an entire album. Because
right.
I don't know the albums that I really loved every single song. And I remember as a kid thinking, God, they don't release singles anymore. And even if they do, they're not going to release necessarily all the singles you want. Too bad there's not a way to get just certain songs. Oh, I know. I'll have to get this song from my friend. They've got the album. I'm not going to buy it, so I'm going to trade that song with them. And you had to record it onto a cassette tape and hand it off to somebody.
Right.
And the guy at Napster, yeah, he was awesome. He used technology, that was a great thing. Even if it ended up, you know, hurting him in the long run, it was still a great idea. And so, yeah, but you're right. I mean, iTunes now coming up with DVR, why did they have to do that? Well, because a lot of people were saying, you know what, I'm not paying through the nose for an iPod. I mean, yeah, they're great and all, but if you can't play, you know, a certain or if you can't play the songs anywhere else, why would I want to do that? And there's a lot of other sites that are offering exactly what iTunes offers for the same price or cheaper.
Right. So, you know, poor our buddy Bill. I don't know what happened to him. We have things that will allow us to be mobile. We have things that will allow us to take back our time. But I also did want to talk about gathering information. Now, I mean, it has been a long time since I've sat down and I've read a newspaper. So, I mean, how is news gathered? and as news gathered, as quickly as it is dispensed, I mean, do you check the internet once a day, no time at all, or do you just, you know, go by the news? How do you get your news? Jeff, go ahead. Do you have an answer for that?
Yeah, I get my news actually off the internet, but what's disappointing is they don't get their facts straight because they are such in a hurry to get it on the internet. One of our local CBS and ABC affiliates, if you go to a news story at, say, noon, and it's breaking news, by 12:15, the content of the article has completely changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I get so sick and tired of hearing about Paris Hilton, but that's a new subject.
Right.
Because I think they just have so many people that are cramming this information and trying to get it out so fast that some of their facts they don't get verification, and the news story hits the wire, it hits the AP, it goes national, it hits an affiliate. 10 minutes later, the content has totally changed, and they haven't said, "Oh, sorry, an hour ago we messed up."
Well, and I think, you know, and this is in general technological, but I mean, with all the 24-hour news stations now, there's only so much news that's going on. So, I mean, now they're in a point where they need more content, and so they have to kind of go after these, you know, different types of shows or different types of people or stories that they may not have ever gone for before. But now, you know, they have to fill all this information, and there have been a number of situations in the past where news reports have been wrong, and they've went with it, and there's been, you know, pretty massive repercussions because of it. And I think it is because that news is so quickly spread now from the internet, especially. You know, like yesterday, Paris Hilton on his website, you know, said, today, Paris Hilton will be released from jail. And, you know, just this morning, people were like, no, this can't be. And then now, from what I understand, you know, she's under house arrest, and then they just called her back. So what I'm saying is there's scoops that are being scooped everywhere now because there's so many people that are on top of different stories. Now, we're not talking about, you know, world politics here, and I totally understand that. But what I'm saying is that with the internet, there is such quick trading off of information. It's so fast to get something to someone else, almost instantaneous. I mean, we're talking about Blackberries, and so somebody with a Blackberry can be standing outside of a restaurant in Hollywood and see two stars that probably shouldn't be together. Maybe they are together walking out of a restaurant. It can hit a blog, you know, inside of a minute, and there you go.
Yeah, but hi there, Jeff. This is your buddy Bill.
Hey.
Hey, one of the things I miss about that is that you start to get things that feel like, oh, look, they just picked up the spoon. Now it
dipped
the ice cream dish. What's going to happen? They've lifted the ice cream on the spoon out of the dish. And where you get the play-by-play and the minute-to-minute changes without being able to take time to step back and contemplate and understand the whole scene that's going on, or even do any sort of analysis about the whys or the backstory, which you are forced to do if your thing came out once a day or once a week or once a month. You took the time to be thorough, to double-check your facts. And I go, you know, we're reporting on the minute. That's what I cared about. We want to shoot everybody. You know, there's less thought.
Well, while you're reconnecting, that's exactly what we said, is that news is so fast and on the internet they don't check their facts.
I need to go Twitter hold on.
As thoroughly as perhaps it was done with a nightly news show, and now, you know, there's just not enough time. They don't have a QA department to kind of read through everything and double check everything. They do the best they can. They ask probably one more time, are you sure this is right? Yes. And then they cross their fingers and they post it. And as everybody knows, once it hits the internet, it's forever. There's no going back. You can delete a page, but there's always that Wayback Machine website that you can go back and find anything. Just once it's out, it's out. There's no taking it back. So Yeah, you know, go ahead.
Okay, but you know what? The whole point of the internet is, and the whole point of getting information out there fast, is actually a plus. Granted, yes, things change every 5 minutes, it seems like, on the internet. But that's because, are you sitting there monitoring it every 5 minutes? I mean, if you think about it, before this information came out on the internet, how did we get our news? We watched TV or we read the newspaper. And
right.
They were always, the newspapers were behind. Almost always behind by at least
true.
A day or it's not longer. What I'm
uh-huh.
finding now is I'll watch news shows and I'm shocked that they are so far behind on their news items. It's like, are you kidding me? I read about that last week on the internet and I read the exact
right.
same thing you're telling me. So it's not like every single news item or every single little article or blurb has to change. Sometimes they do have their information right up front. Yes, there is. You run the risk of them not being able to QA and manage their content before it goes out. But the fact is, that doesn't happen every single article, every single day. That's a common occurrence, but not a radically frequent occurrence. So
okay.
it's still a better way to get your news because you're still going to find that it's you know, I check the internet for news probably twice, maybe three times a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's about it. And I find that I'm not completely out in the left field because I'm getting the most. I also look at the news source. Where is it coming from? Is it coming from a fairly trusted news source? If it is, then I know they should have done their research, and if they have a retraction, they have a retraction. But I don't find that very often. Usually it's, oh, we misspelled this thing. Sorry, that's our typo. They don't change the facts of the story.
But here's
so
what
not
I...
Like...
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, you're finishing what it's not like.
I mean, it's not like it's changing all the time. I mean, it's not changing every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Changes happen, but not that often.
But what I miss, though, is that maybe my problem with it is the choice of content. Is that, you know, I could go out there and Google and Yahoo search and find out all sorts of up-to-date minutes about Angelina Jolie and this and that. But, for instance, in my neck of the woods, over the last few months, we've had 3 or 4 fires. And when I wanted good, up-to-the-date, you know, I wanted to get information about, well, how close is it exactly? Well, because I stepped outside to look, but the smoke obscured it. So I want to know, where is the frickin' fire information? Now, I was able to get up-to-date, you know, information about Tom Cruise's kid or whatever, and lots
mm-hmm.
of trailers about the upcoming Pirates movie, but Lord, help me try to find something of local relevance, you know, even within that the third of the state I live in, let alone try to get down to my county or my city.
Right.
And yeah, I could see coverage of it on TV, but on TV too, because they're pandering to that. They were willing to show up close shots of the flames. What they weren't willing to do is actually say where it was located other than the county. And you know, some cross streets would have been nice. Ends up
mm-hmm.
I didn't burn up, but you know, it's the glamorous, oh, look, we've got video. We'll show video. But what about actually having some information? You know, when they go and they – oh, I was going to go on a rant. But yeah, something like that, if it was updated, you know, as frequently, you know, with as many paparazzi and news hounds following the scoop, that would be super.
No, I
well,
totally agree with
ahead.
You. Again, I was going to say, I totally agree with you. But it also depends on where you're looking. If you're talking about a general, broad larger market show, like say one that caters to specifically because it's located in the heart of Los Angeles, then yeah, the unfortunate somewhat close surrounding counties don't get a whole lot of coverage. We're lucky if they even mention that we exist outside of LA. But if you're talking about a somewhat more local TV station, and if you don't have a local TV station, that's where I think you're going to run into the problems. Same thing with the internet. If you don't have a local paper website that can give you that information, that's kind of where you have a little bit of an issue. And, yes, you're absolutely right. I swear to Pete, I think it was Sci-Fi Jeff who said that he was sick to death of hearing about Paris Hilton. I'm getting really, frankly, sick and tired of Paris. I don't really care whether or not she goes to jail, doesn't go to jail, lives in jail, moves into jail, buys up the jail. I don't really care. But that is like big, huge news, and it's making me crazy that, oh, the latest news is she's gotten out early, and the judge is making her go back to court. You know, oh, who cares? That's not important. But that's what's covered on the local or somewhat relatively local stations. What you have to do is you have to go, okay, well, for news that really matters, I got to go to someplace like CNN or MSNBC. You know, those are the bigger news channels that give you supposedly a little more coverage, but they're so broad that it's hard to get it. Now, on the flip side, if you go to, like, the newspaper, are you getting any better information out of the newspapers? Because I don't see the newspapers devoting a lot of their attention to celebrity and that sort of thing. I see them doing more of the true local stories. Are you seeing that? Because I sure am not. And I don't have time to read a newspaper that's got information that's a week old.
No, I'm not getting it either. Good example, traffic in Utah is a lot different than L.A., so I don't want to make any too big of a comparison, but I'm in dead stop traffic on the way home. When I listen to an affiliate, that gives you traffic reports every 10 minutes. Paris Hilton, Paris Hilton, Paris Hilton. By the way, there is an accident on Interstate 15, Paris Hilton, Paris Hilton, Paris Hilton. And then by the time I get past the accident that didn't exist, someone got pulled over and they were on the shoulder, but of course everybody has to rubberneck and slow down. And then even 10 minutes later when I'm past the accident, their helicopter in the sky. Well, I just flew over, and that lane is still shut down. The lane wasn't shut down. Mm-hmm. So it makes me wonder, the guy sitting there looking at it on a camera, or he has people that call in and look out and say, yeah, the traffic's bad. Now, Paris Hilton is just an example, but there is so much stuff that I don't read the newspaper either. I use the internet because the printed news is just so darn old. Even if it's 24 hours old, it's considered old. And
yeah.
I think you may have misunderstood what I meant about the information being inaccurate. It's not like they have come out and said, whoops, we screwed up. But the content of the news stories often, they don't have the backstory up front, and then 5 minutes later they might, or 10 minutes later they might. And then they have to rewrite the front end of the story. And, you know, if you guys remember the girl that was kidnapped in Utah that was missing for over a year, when she was found, the amount of miscommunicated information that hit the local news was just, it was crazy.
Are you talking about Elizabeth Smart?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like more information faster, but can you get quality? But, you know, I was just going to say, you know, I'm going to say I love the internet news. In one respect is that it will give you a wider variety of points of view on general topics. You might find that, you know, between three or four major network TV shows and a couple of the big cable news outlets or your local papers, you'll get a certain point of view and a certain way of talking about a news item that's been ongoing. But you can find on the internet, you know, often through access to maybe other people's local news, but just divergent or different ways of framing the issues or different quotes or different input and different opinions about it. And so I do like the variety that opening us up to a global community allows, rather than just being stuck with reading the same thing that everyone in your neighborhood nods their head and agrees with.
Right. And go ahead.
I was gonna say absolutely. And what you do find too is by using a bigger search engine that has news items flashed up there, you can actually almost get the whole story. Because one, you know, like the AP might not have some facts, they have most of it, but they're missing something. But then you flip over to abcnews.com and you'll see the same article listed, or a similarly titled article about the same thing listed on the same, you know, news blurb. So you go to those different articles and it'll say, you know, related articles, and you can pull up four or five different articles written by four or five different sources that, once you read through them all, you start getting the bigger picture.
Oh my gosh.
I did know what you meant, though, Sci-Fi Jeff. I was just saying that it's not – it is a problem, yes, that when they don't have all the facts or they don't check all their facts, you do have a problem where they've got, you know, having to come back and change it and having to rewrite the front end of the story or whatever. But like I said, if you start looking at some multiple sources, that's when I think you get the big picture all at once, and it's really easy to do. I think a lot of people don't realize that they see the one article and click on it, read it, and they think that's the end all be all of the story, and then all of a sudden the story changes and they're like, what happened? And it didn't really change. It's that source didn't have all the information, but if you go to another one, they might have a little bit more.
I think that's the lure. I think
it is too.
But I think it allows us to go back to being hunter-gatherers, not necessarily for our food, but for our information.
Yeah.
Okay.
September 11th. Look at all the information that we were hit at. I actually was a newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
I was a newspaper carrier. I delivered the newspapers. Before going to my full-time job. And that morning, for some reason, my wife and I decided, you know, after delivering the newspapers at 4 o'clock in the morning, we're just going to go back to bed.
Mm.
And we got up at like 9:05 Mountain Time. And it was a media frenzy because of what had happened. And we hear on the radio, and we run home and turn on the television, and on every channel, including like MTV and VH1, they preempted their programming to go to different affiliates, and all this information coming in, and it is like a frenzy. Like you said, we are hunter-gatherers. We're trying to look for information. I have a kind of a bizarre, you know, attitude when it comes to technology. I am in the technology sector, but at the same time, I'm losing my job because of technology changes or the information at other sources. And I don't know what to say other than you look at all the information coming in from various sources. But, Jeff, you mentioned something at the beginning of the show that, you know, we're in America and we have the freedom to do this. And you got a blog yourself. You have a website, and you're free to say what you want,
mm-hmm.
whether it's right or wrong. You're entitled to your opinion.
Right.
And that's not necessarily true everywhere.
Right.
You know, there's people – I'm sorry. I was just thinking, this topic right here is so rich, we probably shouldn't exhaust it and be able to and maybe move on to some other technology-related ones.
Yeah. Just a brief mention, you're listening to Roni's Own Radio, and it is Views, Interviews, and You. So you can find this and many more great shows at ronizone.com. And I do want to switch gears at this point, and I think one of the intrinsic things about the Internet, specifically, is that you can live and breathe and talk and communicate and live online in almost complete anonymity. There are places you can have a page about you and lie almost completely. You can lie about your age, your name. You can put up a fake picture. You can describe somebody, not you, and people can think you are a certain thing. Now, and this is even apart from dating sites. And I think part of the lure of that is if you're uncomfortable with the way you look, your name, your family history, your situation in life, is that you can still communicate and almost have like a second life, pardon the pun, on the Internet, and that you can be anybody that you want. Now, I mean, has anyone here experienced the there's almost a disconnect, and let me kind of propose this, and then we'll get started. There's almost two lives. Now, there's one life that you live on the Internet. Now, let me say this, is that you meet people in groups, you meet people on websites, you meet people on message boards that you communicate with online. But then there's people at your work. There's people in your neighborhood. There's people in your family. There's circle of friends that you know in real life. And do you notice that there is a split of groups of people that you have in your life? There's online and there's offline. Do you guys agree or disagree?
I would agree. And I think it's because the unfortunate thing is, while the internet is so wonderful and technology is great, the sad flip side to it, and we are talking about the flip side, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the sad flip side to the technology that's come about in the last 20, 30, 40 years is that people don't have very good social skills. Oh, they can talk to people on the internet, but the philosophy is, well, it doesn't matter because they don't know who I am. They can't see me. I'm never going to run into these people, and they won't be able to, you know, beat me if I say something they don't like, or they won't be able to, you know, I'm not going to be embarrassed because they can't see me. They can't deal with it. Problem is when you actually do have to deal with people, some people don't have what it takes to really be pleasant, polite, good citizens and human beings. So you do have that flip side where you're talking on the internet and you're chatting with people and you're having a conversation, and you might, because you know they can't see you or you're never going to meet them, what have you, you may develop a persona that's not really you.
Right.
And I know a lot of people actually do it. And it's a very easy thing. I mean, it's the same thing as even just talking on the phone. I'm not even talking about internet. I'm talking just even on the phone. How you talk to people on the phone that you're not face to face with is very different than how you talk to them face to face.
Yeah, good point. I met my wife on the internet, actually, on Yahoo Personals.
No way, a success story.
I guess that turned out okay.
And she and I, we were chatting one night, and I took on the persona of the Swedish chef from the Muppets.
Beautiful.
Okay?
I
went by the name of Sven Svensson. And we still joke about it, okay? But back in the late 80s, I used to run a bulletin board, and I had a user on the bulletin board named Depression who... If you knew the person who ended up being me, but it was my anger side, and I was posting nothing but music lyrics that from bands from Europe that no one had ever heard of, that their music and their lyrics was just totally depressing. And I was getting private messages and emails and phone calls that, like, you need to talk to this guy. He's got problems. It was me all along.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, my parents, who are deathly afraid of the internet still to this day,
right,
and technology, they're like, oh, Jeff, is that Frank, one of your computer friends? And I'm like, no, that's Frank. He is human.
Mm.
Because they didn't understand, okay, you have friends that you hang out with and play video games with and Nintendo and play on the computer. And the word computer friend just didn't come across to me, you know, kind of like an inhuman type of thing. But yes, there is success on the internet, but when I met Christine, I wasn't necessarily myself at first, because
right,
the internet allowed me to be someone entirely different and act differently. But the funny thing is I don't act any different now. I am the biggest kid in the house, and I still try to do my Swedish chef impression. I'm not very good at it, but I get her to laugh. And
attaboy.
I've known her for 7 years.
Now, let me quick throw some cards out on the table, and we'll continue this subject here. Is that I'm a very creative person, and therefore I'm great at behind the camera. I'm great at behind the mic. I'm great at behind the script writing tools and all this kind of stuff. I think I have a better face than a face for radio, but anyway, I have a fairly good voice for radio, I think, so that's why I like podcasting. What I've found is that the more I use the internet to communicate, the more scared I get when I'm in social situations where I need to meet people to network. What's interesting is I'm a software trainer, and so therefore I go around the country training people, rooms full of people I don't know, every single day. Many, many times during the year, I need to train them on software. But what's interesting is one of the better things of the internet is it can plan these meetups or these different, fan conventions or fan clubs or different things where people come together. I still feel real uneasy about meeting new people. And I don't know if it has specifically anything to do with the internet, but it's just, I think Colleen's right. She mentioned it, is that I think we as a culture have kind of forgotten how to commiserate, to talk to people, to relate to people, whatever. It's because I think technology has kind of cooped us up in a room, and we're very uncomfortable coming out of the room to open the door and actually meet and talk to people. And I think, there's definitely been some sad stories in dating sites, but what do you guys think about that? Is that true or not?
It's true to some extent, but I'm just the opposite. I was a trainer at my place of employment, but 20 years ago, I was very introverted. But I can tell you, the very first podcast that I hosted where I interviewed someone, I was scared to death.
Hmm.
I had all the technology and all the know-how to make it work, but I was scared to death to key up that mic and say, hey, here I am broadcasting live, yet most of my listeners are people that know me firsthand because they're local to me. I was just scared to death. So it's like learning to walk before crawling. But by the same token, there are those of us that – you get on the internet and you become a different person. You get absorbed into an online game, but socially, you're socially retarded is the term I use. That, okay, they can write a great email, but they can't talk the talk.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
I think it does. I've had a mix of experiences like that. When I was doing some radio shows, often lots of music and just commentary, my first few people that I asked to be on as interview guests were friends of mine, people that I knew socially. We could make jokes about each other. We knew each other for years. But getting them down in front of the microphone to do an interview the first time with them was completely different because I was a different persona behind the microphone than I was with them. I was trying to accomplish different goals. And so sometimes shifting between the personal life and the, hi, you're listening to your buddy Bill here on KTSC. Switching gears, shifted my relationship to them and the way I interact with them. And I've had the opposite where I've dealt with someone, online, almost extensively. And then meeting them in person, there's some sort of shyness and like, oh, well, I guess we get to see more than just the one topic that we shared, offline. We get to see the whole enchilada and everything that goes along with it, like how you treat the waiter, or what you do with your keys and your change, and why are you chewing on that? So I found that there's cases where, one aspect clicks and the other is just alien, and other places where, I can switch effortlessly between the two, and plenty of people that, I can deal with just fine until I come up to ask them on a date. so maybe it's the context of the conversation, not as much the medium.
Well, if Snoop Jeff is ever in Salt Lake City, I'm going to have to go buy him a beer and shake his hand,
That's fine, man. That's totally cool. It's so very interesting to see the way that technology can bring so much to you, but sometimes your heart, your emotions, your real self is the hardest thing to give, is the hardest thing to kind of release, and Bill mentioned the whole persona thing. And, you know, what's funny is the reason I like the medium of podcasting is there's really no rules. And you can basically do whatever you want. And that's what I've tried to do. But what's interesting is there are other people I listen to, and it's this, hello there, this is, you know, Tomcat Tom, and I'm Bub Bub Bub, and I want to tell you this story. And I'm like, oh, come on. You know, because you know if you call their house, it's going to be, hello? So it's just funny, just the way the whole thing kind of blends sometimes. So, Weedy, how have you felt as far as, you know, being online, but then meeting somebody like maybe a Chris Mock or something? I mean, do you feel like being entrenched in technology that you're kind of better suited for meeting people and meeting new people especially or not?
Yeah, I think it helps in some instances. I think we were fortunate enough to actually meet Chris Mock in person at Celebration 4, which was great. I think having listened to him on the show before we met him made things a little bit easier in meeting him in person. But then again, you know, it's so much easier to really be somebody other than yourself or to be a little more bold on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, there's not that – and I think what it is it's that instant reaction when you're in front of somebody. If you say
right.
something, you either you need to look at them. I mean, I can be on the internet and I could be totally not even looking at the computer at all. And I can be, you know, or I could be, you know, especially like on a podcast right, you know, like this. But when I'm with somebody in person, I have to pay attention to every little last thing they're saying, or I should at least, you know, out of politeness and just because it's the right thing to do. But having, you know, done podcasts more, I started a new job this week, and I had to mentally tell myself from the get-go, I'm going to meet an awful lot of people, and I need to make sure that I am not my typical very shy self and be a little more outgoing than I normally would be and get along with people. So I think, I mean, it's having done podcasts and stuff and talking to complete total strangers, we've never been Sci-Fi Jeff in person, you know, and I think that if we ever got the chance to, it'd make things a little bit easier because we had this interaction over the internet. But
did I mention I'm a 19-year-old, 5'9" blonde female?
See, and that's funny. You know, that is the truth. People on the internet, they tend to say things and be people they wouldn't normally be. It comes back to the persona thing. Anyway, I started all this to kind of go into the whole point of, does it make it easier when you finally do talk to somebody in person? Does it make it easier on the relationships? In some cases, yes, and I think in some cases, no. Because when you do get to that point where you finally meet somebody face-to-face, if you haven't already developed a relationship with them over the internet, you have to kind of rely on your skill set that you learned as a kid.
Right.
That's kind of where it is, I think. You know, the kids nowadays are playing on the computer a lot more than they used to, and I notice that unless they have a good example and their parents of how to be social, they have a tendency to kind of retreat within themselves to their, you know, computer or whatever. And it's a plus and it's a minus. I mean, you just
tough call. Let's kind of deal with a plus of that and kind of stand up for people like Bill Gates for just a second. I think that there is a part of people who are internal and can really benefit from a focused life on, you know, a computer that can really kind of benefit from that, or from deep thinking, or solitude, or whatever. I think some people can benefit from that, but I also think that it can be a point where you don't face fear, you don't face interaction with people, and that can be, I think, detrimental. But a bit of a sidestep, and then we'll come in for a landing, is that I'm going to do a show about this in the future, but the gift of storytelling and relaying information. I mean, Colleen, you mentioned reading a book. I mean, the old school, you know, ways of relaying information. I mean, old Billy Shakespeare, you know, he was pretty good with a pen, you know. And there was a point in time where people read his plays and performed his plays. And there was a kind of a physicality of it. I mean, somebody actually wrote, you know, when he wrote those plays. And then when people performed them, they put their heart, soul, and everything else. But there was a whole physical element to it. There was a communal aspect. I mean, we haven't mentioned once really any technology as far as a theater. We talked about home stuff, but again, that's kind of cut off from other people. So what I think we are losing in a way with the internet is the communal aspect of getting together. That's what's nice about TalkShoe. I'm not doing a commercial, but it is nice that you can have other people on the phone that can respond automatically to different things. But it's nice that technology can kind of bring people together. And, you know, to kind of come in for a landing, and anybody can kind of cut in whenever they like, is that now these kind of foreign concepts are coming back, is that, you know, the tech-free vacation where you leave everything behind. You know, maybe you take a cell phone, but you turn it off, and you maybe only check it once a day. You know, or you know, other big vacations are going to Montana or Utah and renting a cabin in the middle of nowhere. And that's how you enjoy, you know, communing with nature, whatever, is getting away from technology. So, you know, I think that as far technology, as we go in technology, there's always a point where we always are pulled back to, you know, the beauty that's around us and the beauty that is with other people. You know, I think, yeah, definitely, you know, couples, married couples, families, friendships, those things need to be cultivated. And you can only do so much through email. And, you know, that's the one thing, you know, it kind of drives me crazy a little bit, but that's what's actually kind of cool about females when they go to lunch. The food, yeah, it's kind of important, but it's all about the talking, the interaction. How are you doing?
Yes.
That kind of thing. And I think guys miss that. So.
Anyway. That is true. But I'm gonna do a little plug here, because something just popped into my head when you were talking about the fact that, you know, it keeps us apart and blah, blah, blah. Yes, that is true. It does keep some people and gives them a nice little excuse to not have to deal with other human beings. They
right.
All they do, and I don't mean other human beings, I mean other live in their face human beings. They can be anonymous. They can, you know, disappear. There's a plus to that, two different pluses. One is celebrities who would get mobbed by people have the opportunity to become completely anonymous and yet still interact with people on the internet. So that's a plus of having the ability to be anonymous on the internet. Because
right.
Celebrities can't go just walking down the street without getting snapped, their picture taken 18,000 times and people making comments on what they do, but they can be completely anonymous. They can grab yet another persona and be that persona on the internet and interact with their fans, or just make maybe feel a little bit more human by not being so, you know, worshipped like, you know, the idols that they are. The other one is for people who are unfortunately housebound for a variety of reasons, their health, you know, what have you. Those folks, it used to be this is the plus of technology. If somebody had a health issue where they couldn't leave the house, couldn't get around, they'd have to have things delivered to them. But the opportunity to sit and talk with somebody all day, probably not a huge one. Internet, folks who don't have the ability to leave the house can still interact with human beings. Granted, not as much face-to-face as I'm sure they'd probably like, but they can interact with human beings. Third one popped in my head. Talking to people in places you would never have met them any other way.
Okay.
For example, people outside of this country, unless you take a lot of trips, chances are good you're not going to run into these people. So it gives you an opportunity to connect with people in places you would never, and you might actually learn something about that place or their culture or what have you. So it has its pluses.
That's
true. I just want to plug.
Very good. Any other thoughts? Bill? Jeff?
I was going to play devil's advocate. I'm kind of a touchy-feely person.
Okay.
And I'm amazed how uncomfortable that makes other people. Okay?
Yeah.
Just a common handshake or even a pat on the back or how are you doing? One of the companies I worked for years ago, a lot of us were friends outside of work and we were just chewing the fat and I stepped into the conversation and someone that didn't know me almost landed blows because he got, you know, uncomfortable that I was shaking hands and patting people back, hey, how you doing, and so forth. 20 years ago, though, I was that person that, you know, I wouldn't even say hi. I would get on the internet or I'd get on some kind of chat board like CompuServe. I was addicted to CompuServe when I was a kid. And you could hide behind the screen and be someone else. And then I got involved with this podcasting several years ago, and I met his name's Rex. He's Captain T. Rex that hosts our show, and I'm not trying to plug my show.
Mm-hmm.
Met him at a movie premiere, and I was just amazed of the persona he carried and how much he knew about movies and television and actors and books and everything. And then when I got involved, he too is a touchy-feely person. He doesn't shake hands, though. He hugs.
Hmm.
Two guys hugging in public.
Yeah.
But it's not like a hug, like an embrace. It's a one-armed type of thing. And yet on the internet, he's exactly the same person.
Hmm.
And it's important to us with our group that what we are on the internet is what we need to be in person, because we do end up meeting people and they're like, oh, you're the same Jeff. Well, yeah, I didn't think you would be this 6'4" fat guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, first of all, I love your show. I've got to say that. You guys have a lot of fun and you have a lot of really cool stuff going on. And anyway, just want to say that. Second of all is I always try and leave my heart in these shows, especially in the first six that you can find at classicrzr.ronizone.com. That's, I think, what the difference is with our show, is that I try and not just cover something factually, but I try and cover it factually, but leave a lot of heart and opinion and feeling into it. And so I think I try and kind of bridge all the gaps, but what I find is that some of those older shows like Unplanned Pregnancy or a church's Outreach of Love to a Gay Pride Festival is that the responses I've received from some of those older shows, I mean, people are just kind of happening by and downloading them, have been just really incredible. Is that you know, for lack of a better term, touchy-feely, thought-provoking podcasts are really kind of few and far between. But I think that that there is room for it, and I think that I think we can do both. But there's nothing really better than you know, sitting down with a friend or a family member or a spouse or girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever significant other, and really just talking and cackling and laughing and really carrying on. So I hope that the internet is always used to bring people together and to influence your life and not to run your life. That we as humans and people always have the power to control technology, and so that it doesn't control us. As long as it serves us, it's fine. But once we serve it, we have a problem. And so I think we've really kind of mentioned a lot of great ways that technology can help us. And if there's any other ideas that anybody has for great things on the internet, I mean, we left out a lot of stuff. So if you'd like, you can email us at roniezone@gmail.com. Let us know. If there's other situations in which you feel like the internet has kind of pulled you away from interaction, you know, maybe you want to vocalize it, or maybe it's enhanced your reaching out to other people. Maybe it has been the bridge to get you out to a meetup or a group or a fan club. Let us know. Again, at roniezone@gmail.com. Any final thoughts from anybody?
Yeah, I was going to say the internet is a wonderful thing, and I'm just echoing what you said, but I want to add something is that it's a great way to kind of get the ball rolling, but don't let that be the only interaction you have with people. You know, get out and use the internet as the bridge to get you to meet people in person, but then actually do meet them in person. Because something that I learned a long time ago, and I'll never forget this, is they did a study on monkeys, and monkeys that motherless monkeys, these little orphan babies, and they put just a wireframe of a monkey in a cage with the little baby, and it didn't do well. It actually got sick because it didn't have anything to hold on to. It was a non-social monkey. Then they covered the wireframe monkey with fur and made it warm and made it feel like it was a human being, and the monkey actually did very well. And they derived from that human touch is critical. There have been stories and case studies where, you know, babies are born premature and they're very sick, and they're, you know, stuck in little incubators, and they're struggling and fighting to live. And the mother reaches in her hand and touches the baby, and the baby, you know, reacts positively, and it helps the baby grow. So, you know, touchy-feely is great. There's nothing wrong with being touchy-feely, because we all need a human touch. The computer's right. A wonderful thing. The internet's a wonderful thing. But you definitely need that human interaction. And sometimes a simple handshake can do a world of good.
I totally concur. And just a couple of disclaimers. You know, obviously, if you're a wacko trying to meet kids on the internet, obviously it's a bad idea. You need some help.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
You know. Definitely don't do that, or you'll end up on TV, you know, walking in on Chris Hansen. And then, you know, we'll finally all see you then. But anyway, any final words, Mr. Sci-Fi Jeff, Mr. Bill?
No, I totally agree with the touchy-feely is important. And someone's going to hold me to this because they'll listen to the show. But in September, I'm attending my first science fiction convention ever, because my involvement with the podcasting. I've been doing this long enough. I know these people face to face, but to kind of see them in their own, I see that I just compared them as that they're different. They're just like me. They're everyday people. They love technology. They love books, reading, people, and so forth. And the touchy-feely nature that I have, I just need to now put it more in a kind of a public place to say, hey, this is me. I'm this guy that you hear doing some of these funny fake ads on the show or that you heard on the Roni Zone talking. And Jeff, I appreciate you letting me participate in your shows.
You got it.
And the thing with the social sites, I was so anti-MySpace. I had it blocked every possible way for my network at home. And then I went, you know what? There is ways of meeting other people and branching out. And kind of had to change my attitude. I still think there's a lot of crap out there, but being a parent of teenagers that would rather chat than pick up the phone, I have a lot to be concerned about.
Yeah.
And, you know, those listening, you can put down the keyboard, you can put down the World of Warcraft, and Jeff, you could put down your BlackBerry, and you can shake my hand. You can shake my hand when you're next time you're in Salt Lake City.
I look forward to it, man.
All right.
All right, Mr. Bill. Any final words?
I'll just say that was really neat, and I was glad I was able to help my friend do some tech support to dial in.
No, all right. I can tell that. Well, anyway, thanks so much, everybody, for joining on the phone. And one really quick kind of a shout-out. I can't believe I saved it to the end, but TalkShoe has a sharing strategies with TalkShoe host weekly show, and we were mentioned as number 10 in the most called shows for last week. So thanks to everybody who has joined us tonight, and we will just continue to move forward and, you know, hopefully just continue up the chain to number one. So thanks so much, guys, for joining us tonight. I hope this has been interesting and thought-provoking. Again, if you have any other words or thoughts to add, you can email us at ronizone@gmail.com. You can find much more interesting shows at ronizone.com. And with that, I say see ya, goodbye, until next time.
Bye, guys.
See ya.